My goodness gracious, I'm glad to be home. And that's a fact, and I'm going to tell you about that because last week I went to church at home where I was born, where I was raised. And I walked in and I'd have thought I was a movie star the way people were carrying on. But I got to tell you, as I sat there, I was missing here. And that's a pretty comfortable feeling. I told Wendy when we left, I couldn't wait to get back home and get back to work. So thank you for letting me go. Now let's get back to work. First praise. I want you to hunt down Greg because he made the business cards we talked about and they are awesome. He's got a big stack of them and I encourage you to go back and take a few. And what is on the business card? And I'm using this as a praise. This is not just an announcement. He's got the picture, the name, the church, the phone number, the directions. On the front of the card it says, a Bible-based, friendly country church. And on the back is a map. And you got to see the map because Greg was on his toes when he said, this is our church, CH-CH. He wrote, what is missing? You are. I encourage you because if somebody wants to know, hey, where do you go to church or how's church or how do I get here? Just hand him a card and say, come on out and see us. So he's got a bunch. See him after church. That is a blessing to me. See that? I never get clapped for it. They throw stuff at me. Any others before we prepare? If there are none, as we come before the Lord, as we bow forward, as we join our hearts together, just a hand up and down for the unspoken request. Let God read what's on your heart. Thank you. Let us join our hearts together. Come willfully, prayerfully, submitting, obediently. Your words, Father. How in the world can we survive without you? Without your touch, without your look? Truth is, we can't, and so thankful we are for your divine blessing, for your guidance therein, for your uplifting spirit, for your hand at the right place at the right time. Let's begin with thanks, Father. Thank you for the children, the lineup of children, the new life, the breath in this church. It recharges each and every one of us. We love seeing it. Thank you for that blessing. For new members, for returning friends, for new friends, Father, thank you. One only need look around and not say, what has God done? You should say, what hasn't he done? As we approach this time, as we look toward Thanksgiving, as we look toward that beginning, Father, we lead into the season which will prepare us for the birth of your Son. But let us stop right here and look at your handiwork. The beauty and the leaves and the fall and the colors and everything around it screams out, I am here. Know your God. Thank you, Father. We reach across many miles today and ask that our blessings be heard for those serving us in lands far away. There are those that are rebuilding communities devastated by natural destruction and devastation, Father. There are those that are rebuilding lives, taking away from the oppression of tyranny. And there are those that are bringing your Son's name to those who have never heard it. Strengthen them, guide them, protect them. And let the families that are here at home praying for them continue to be strengthened in their prayer life, Father. We don't ask why. We just ask what to do. We're thankful for your hand being upon us and protecting our loved ones, for leading us, for teaching us, for guiding us. We ask for a prayer, Father, for the denomination. For this little group, the Church of the Brethren, as we continue to work down a path that we're called on right now. Pray for that leadership and for the leadership in all churches that they are following your words, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly. Strengthen them, Father. We thank you for the teachers. in high school, the middle school, the elementary school, in the Christian schools, in Sunday school, and those that teach at home, Father, pray that they continue not to teach their own thoughts, but to teach with Your love as their directing force. They shape these minds that we love. They enter into them and help them to grow. We're thankful for that and ask You to continue to give them that strength. Be with the doctors and nurses, Father, that mend after us, that look after us, that tell us when we need to be there and tell us when we don't. Pray for continued healing for those that are coming away from pain, for those that are suffering, Father, Your will be done. We ask for Your presence here today and in amongst us, hearing those prayers that we dare not speak openly, and yet You know them. You read our hearts, You read our minds, You look down with inside of us and You see exactly what we need, not want, need. For the unspoken requests, Father, lift us up. For volunteers, and for those that do Your work against all odds. Father, just lead us. Just give us that one mind, that one voice. Let our hearts be united here at this moment in prayer as we pray the way You would have us pray, the way Jesus taught us. Let us recite it together. Let us pray it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In your Bibles, let's go Old Testament today. Get your Bibles out, turn them down to Genesis chapter 21. I don't think there's any forgotten stories in the Bible. I just simply think there's some that we haven't studied for a while. Today we read about Hagar and Ishmael and how they were sent out. Genesis chapter 21, starting in the 8th verse. It's not often we go back to the Old Testament as New Testament readers, but we need to remember the past so we can shape the future correctly. His hand upon us. Genesis chapter 21, verse 8. The child grew and weaned, and on that day Isaac was weaned. Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking, and she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that slave woman's son will never share the inheritance of my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son, but God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation, because he is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and sent them off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered into the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under the brushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby, a bow shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And she sat there nearby and began to sob. God heard the boy crying. And the angel of God called Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying. As he lies there, lift up the boy and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with the water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. and he lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. May God bless this reading that we may get a greater understanding of it to our hearts. Would you join with me, please, in prayer? Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds. Prepare us. Let us set aside our thoughts of the daily labors, even to what comes later on today, and study your word. Let the words that I speak come not from me, but from you, and be gleaned therein as good and productive, strengthening our hearts and taking us forward, Father, that we may proclaim Jesus Christ's name, and that we may lead lost back home. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, I didn't do it this morning. I'm in that kind of a mood. I could do it now, but I didn't say good morning because I didn't want to see how awake you were. But I'll be nice today. I'll let you sit until I see you start to drift off, and then maybe I'll wake you back up. I watched this man stand up. I sat in the back of a room because I don't often get to sit in the back anymore, and I often like it. But I sat in the back of a room and I watched this man stand up at the front of the church. And I guess stand up is the wrong word. I would say more that he struggled up out of the seat. He was old and bent and his body had gone through a lot. But during a church service, I watched as this man forced his way up out of the seat, holding on to first the side, then getting himself up. And once he got his feet planted, he began to speak. He said, I'm 83 years old. He said, and I shouldn't even be here. He said, I have lived this life all my life around this area, and I grew up in a large family. Must have been a dozen or so kids, maybe even more. He said, sometimes I forgot to count. He said, and Christmas, oh my goodness, Christmas was a big time around our household. We all got something. One gift, but we all got something. And this year I had worried my parents all the way down the line for a toy airplane, and I got a toy airplane, and some of my kin, my sisters and brothers, and even a few of my cousins all got brand new gum boots. Now, when you're a kid and you're under the age of 42, or am I 43? I'm 43. When you're a kid and under that age, and you get a brand new pair of gum boots for Christmas, what's the first thing you do for them? You go looking for the creek, or the mud, or the barnyard, because you have to test them out. On this occasion, it was the creek. Now, it had been a warm December. And so the kids with the new gum boots were down in the creek playing. And the man said, I wasn't to be denied. I was 5, maybe 6 years old, and I went stomping right down in the bank with them. And I stomped and splashed around in that water, and I had a good time. And I come up out of the water, and everything was fine. I dried my feet off and got back to it. The next night, they sent for the doctor. I had become fiercely sick. I had suffered now from double pneumonia and pleurisy. In them days, you went to the hospital, and you didn't play with this stuff. And they loaded me in a wagon, carried me away. I remember I had a fever, I was told, of 107 degrees. I should have died on the spot. And they put me in a tub, and they iced me down to get the temperature down. And the doctor told my parents, he won't be here tomorrow. Won't be here. He will not live through this night. And I laid in that bed, and I watched as my father and my grandfather and my uncle and my mother and grandmother at different times came in and prayed on me. He said, now I'm old enough now that you can probably want to sit there and say that my memory don't work, but I'm here to tell you right now, it still works on this. I remember at that age, suddenly something come in the room and put upon me. And early in the morning, my fever broke and dropped. And within a week or two, I went home. I'm 83 years old. That was when I was 5 or 6. I know, brothers and sisters, I know that to this day, His hand was upon me. Amen? How in the world can you not sit in the back of a room, in the back of a church service, and not feel them little hairs on the back of your neck stand up? Or the tears just fighting to get out of your eyes? And all of a sudden I heard it very simple. We have to do another sermon of reminders. And so today we have a sermon that reminds us. His hand upon you. Regardless. After all, we're all the same. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all Christians. And we're all not extremely smart sometimes. I will take the lead on being the dumbest one of the bunch. And that's okay. You can see that in some of the stuff I've done. And will continue to do. But how many times during the day do we get caught in that daily grind? How many times during the week? Oh, I've got to get this done. I've got to get to this. Things are starting to fall down around us. Things are starting to get heavy. Whatever in the world is going on. The bills are coming in. The money's not. You don't feel well, and you're not feeling better. You're struggling with your situation in life, and you're not looking at the other end of things. Somewhere along the line, it's starting to pull you down. We forget. We all do it. If you say you don't, well, I don't believe you. We all get to forgetting sometimes. We all forget His hand upon us. Look at the story. One of the earliest scriptures in the Bible. Sometimes it is a forgotten story. I mean, we all know what happened. Abraham had Isaac. Israel. The birth of a nation. Whatever happened to Ishmael? Ishmael. We see a story where we get to read God doesn't forget anybody. Ever. If you look back in verse 17, you see that the hand of the Lord was there. We see that He always is. And pretty much when we look at ourselves sometimes, when we forget to look for God, we see ourselves as Hagar. Don't you? Shake your head, yes. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. This woman put her son in the bushes and was preparing to run him through with an arrow. Because she couldn't take it. What do we read? We read that it's like that old saying. What is it that the football people like? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Right? And all too often, it's the wrong direction. When things get tough, we start running for what we can find and not what is. And Hagar did the same thing. She's teaching us a story here. In God's Word, we're seeing a story that we can apply to our life. She was willing to kill her own son rather than take stock of what was around her. And we get a very gentle reminder of this. Verse 17, God heard the boy crying. You should underline that. You should write that down somewhere. It's often said by those who look from the outside in to our world as Christians, how in the world does God know you? What does the Bible say? The Bible says very simply, His eye is even on the sparrow. He knows it all. He has numbered the very hairs on the top of your head. Even when you had them cut. He heard the boy crying. In your moment, in your weakness, in your loss, when you think, I'm alone, He hears you crying. Verse 17, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Don't be afraid. God heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift up the boy and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. And if you read on down, verse 20, God was with the boy as he grew up. You look at that line of children. that was here today that stretched from here all the way over to here. That's a lot of kids. God sat with each one of them. Just like He sits with us. God, His hand upon you. I'm reminding you of that. I'm asking you to stop for a moment and look in that direction. Let me ask you this question. You ever find yourself, as your world of turmoil starts to spin completely out of control, looking at the guy down the street who seems to be having a party every day, going, why? What did I do wrong? Now, most of the time, I have the answer to the question for myself on that. But I've got a list of, okay, I know I did this wrong and that wrong, and I know, God, I shouldn't have gone down that slide. Say amen if you ever find yourself looking at somebody else when your world is going away from you and you can't figure out why. Say amen. Because you do it. I do it. I'm the preacher. I'm not supposed to be having this much trouble. Aesop has a fable that I've often loved. He said, a flea questioned an ox. Now, that's a pretty potent image right there. Little bitty flea, great big ox. He said, a flea questioned an ox, what ails you? That being so huge and so strong, you submit to the wrongs you receive from men and slave for them day by day, while I, being so small a creature, mercilessly, feed on their flesh and drink their blood without so much as a stint. The ox replied, I do not mean to be ungrateful. I do not wish to be ungrateful. For I am loved and well cared for by men, and they often pat my head and shoulders. Woe is me, said the flea. This very patting which you like, whenever it happens to me, brings with it my inevitable destruction. Right? I got you that time, didn't I? Pat an ox on the head like that and you'll break your hand. Whenever God permits a trial and a tribulation, permits. That's the word. He permitted Jesus Christ to go there. Permitted. Whenever God permits trials and tribulations, for some it may seem like their destruction, while for others it may seem like a blessing. How we endure a trial is based upon our perspective. So today I ask you to change your perspective. While you may be under trial and tribulation, you are simply being sent through to be strengthened. His hand upon you. We all too often watch things around and we get lost in that trouble. It's called the world. I've said it before again and again and again. You know, you got to wear the proper clothes and the right shirt and this and that, and you got to drive a certain kind of car. Well, let's see. I still believe if I could preach in my bib overhauls, I'd get away with it. I don't fall into that trap, but I do fall into others. The world takes us by the hand and says, if you're going to be a certain way, then you need to be the way we're telling you. Not the way the Christian world is. Because you got to work in that world. But how about today, we just walk through some scriptures right now. We just get into the Word. Open your Bibles up. Let's take a walk through some scriptures. And let's look at where God has constantly, without failure, laid His hand upon us. We can see these little stories along the way. And I promise I'll take my time so you can catch up with me, because I roll too fast through the Bible as it is for most people. But we're going to look at where God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit has kept their hand upon you. Job chapter 42. Let's start right there. The very end of that long, drawn-out book of the Bible that most of us, when we read it, think, what in the world? The amount of pain and suffering that went on with him, I'm not too sure I could have handled it. I imagine Job had his moments. Maybe someday I ought to do a Bible study on Job. Makes my head hurt. Chapter 42, the last chapter of the Bible, of the book. Job. If you're looking for it and you've never been in that area before, just go find the Psalms and start backing up. You'll come to Job eventually. In Job chapter 42, we see his response to God's speech. Job humbles himself and he prepares himself. Job gets to talk to the Lord. He says this, "I know you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is that that obscures my counsel without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me.' My ears have heard you, but now my eyes see you." Jump down to verse 10. We see where after God put it upon the friends that were causing some trouble, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. His hand upon you. He proved it right there in Job. And I'm not going to read all that stuff because I'm liable to start getting a little bit covetous when I read about all the oxen and camels and stuff. Because I keep telling Wendy I'd like to have a camel and she won't let me. His hand upon you. His very eyesight on you. You are in His presence. Let's move forward. Luke chapter 8. At this point, I'm actually going to stop and I'm going to thank my brother Chris because when he read the title to my sermon, he shot me a few things to help me prep for that. Oh, believe you me, I pay attention to everything. And I enjoy it. Luke chapter 8. Verse 40. I choose the Luke Gospel version because I think it's a little bit more descriptive. "Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus went on the way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman who was there, who had been subjected to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her, she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the people are crowding and pressing in against you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me.' Then the woman, seeing she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people and told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.' And while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. 'Your daughter is dead,' he said. 'Don't bother the teacher anymore.' Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, 'Don't be afraid. Just believe. She will be healed.' When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, the people were wailing and mourning for her." "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." "They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, 'My child, get up.' Her spirit returned. At once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened." I love that scripture. I love that scripture all the way around. If you can just see the imagery as I can, Jesus Christ pressed into a crowd. You've watched it time and time again. Somebody coming out of the courtroom or trying to go up that carpet there for some movie award. There's crowds just press in and press in. And everybody was around him and there wasn't no velvet ropes or security or anything like that. And this woman rushed herself through the crowd, pushed. And all she did was reach out and just touch just that little bit of an edge. And instantly, he knew. When I go to sleep sometimes in my easy chair, I think my children could come down and hit me in the head with a bat and I would never wake up. But he knew. He knew. Turned around and caught her. Daughter, your faith. You've been healed. My hand upon you. And yet even to go on and continue to that little girl's house, took her by the hand in amidst laughing at him. Get up. And she woke up. Acts chapter 16. I told you we were going to ride through the Bible for a while. One of my favorite personal stories. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas in prison. Y'all know what happened? They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and they were making people mad and they had just done a bunch of things to really make everybody mad. And they got thrown in jail. They had gone to that slave girl and they had taken away her and she wasn't going to make money no more for the people that had her. And they got mad and they tossed them in jail. And they beat them and they beat them and they stripped them. And the Bible says, right there in verse 23, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in an inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. And at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. And today, brothers and sisters, I'm going to let you know what hymn they sang. At least it's the one I believe. And if you don't like it, tough. They sang this hymn. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. That's the hymn they were singing. I know it. It says it right there in the Bible. Somewhere. They were singing hymns to God and the other prisoners were listening to them. Set the scene in your mind. In stocks, beaten, naked, bleeding, bruised, hurt, singing, smiling, praising God, saying, come here, it's okay, Father. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains come off. Holy Spirit coming in hard. The hand was upon them. The Holy Spirit did not forget them, even in the midst of the trouble, even in the midst of your trouble. His hand upon you. We all know what happened. The jailer, when he saw what went on, he was ready to kill himself because he thought they had run. He said, no, we're here. We didn't do anything wrong. And the jailer fell and was saved. And his family was saved. And he ministered to them. And the next day the magistrate said, these are Roman citizens. We can't hold them in here. And away they went. His hand upon you. 2 Timothy. I don't even know why I'm going to read this. I'm pretty sure I can get through it. Most of you know my feelings toward 2 Timothy, especially the fourth chapter, especially toward the end of it. As we read the last words that Paul ever speaks, I don't ever think I read it without choking up, but we see Paul thanking God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Stop it right there. in the midst of trial and tribulation. I'm sorry, verse 16. In the midst of trial and tribulation, he was left alone. May it not be held against them. Verse 17. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 His hand upon me. It doesn't make it any easier to know that trials are coming, but it makes you ready. We need that touch, because if we don't, we will surely die. Charles Searle, in his book, Unfinished Business, wrote, "No more convincing evidence than the absence of parental affection exists than compiled by Renee Spitz, who in South Africa spent time at an orphanage and observed 97 children who were deprived of emotional and physical contact with others. Because of a lack of funds, there was not enough staff to take care of them, to adequately care for them. From ages 3 months to 3 years old, they fed them, they changed the diapers and bathed them, but that's all they could do. After 3 months, they showed signs of abnormality. Besides the loss of appetite and being unable to sleep well, many children lay with vacant expressions in their eyes. After 5 months, deterioration sets in. They lay whimpering and troubled, and often when a doctor or nurse would come and pick them up, they would scream with terror. 27 of the children died the first year, not because of food or health care. They died from a lack of touch and emotional nurture. Without his touch, brothers, sisters, we don't stand a chance. His hand is upon you. Look for it, accept it, live for it, love for it. Even in the midst of everything that's going on, he is there. Every time we try and fail, he is there. We even know that when we fail. We know what happened to Paul. Saul on the road to Damascus was struck down. The Lord said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" asked Jesus. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told to do what you must do." Even in failure, he's there. Even in those moments. And every time we succeed, a little later on, we know what he said to Ananias. "Go! This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." But thankfully, he went. Thankfully, we go. Thankfully, he is upon us. Amen? So to each of us, we're going to start tomorrow. We're going to start in about an hour when I finish preaching. You're going to walk out that door and it's going to start all over again. My sermon today is to remind you, his hand is upon you. His love lives for you. Nothing that you can encounter is too great for him. Nothing. Will you please join with me in prayer? How great thou art. A hymn that we sing. So often, sometimes we don't stop and listen to the words. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. There is nothing on this earth that can take me away from your touch. Should I look for it? Should I desire it? Should I want it? There is nothing in this world that can lead us away from it, Father. as long as we remain focused towards you. Your words make it clear. Should it be you, Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, or the Comforter you have sent, the Holy Spirit, to put upon us, the touch is there, the nurture. It's more than adequate. One need simply look around for any example. Narrowly missing an accident. Coming home to find something wrong with the house that could have led to disaster, but it didn't. Being told that you will never come to the place that you're at because of who you are, and yet our salvation takes us beyond that and more. Your hand is always there. I pray for my brothers and sisters today that they reach out to you in that time, in that moment, in that need. Let us not forget that for as outcast as they were, for as hated as they seemed, for as much as they did not represent, you still watched over Hagar and Ishmael, and you still watch over us, your hand upon us. Lift us up, Father, as we go from here. Strengthen us for the week to come, and prepare us for whatever would happen. Lead, guide, direct, and protect us, and bring us back here again, your children searching for you. Let us be those who show the light of Jesus Christ, of your love, of the companionship of the Holy Spirit to those in need and want. Guide us, Father. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You want me to do it, Charlie? You don't have to leave here alone. You don't have to leave here without knowing Him. You don't have to leave here if there's something on your heart that you need. All you need to do is walk up front. Now, as you sing this last hymn, I ask every Sunday, I will not quit asking. Let me pray for you. Let Him be heard. Don't go away from here not ready. That's just a simple prayer. As we sing this last hymn, if you have that need, please come up.
Please stand, turn to number 797.